It's wonderful this time of year now. We're able together as a family, amen? And we're able to come, all of us, to the Lord's table. He wants us to do so as we celebrate this last, well, really, the last communion service of this year. And I'm so thankful that we are believers and that we know the true meaning of Christ, amen, and of his birth. We know what Christmas really means. You know, I remember a couple of years back, maybe you remember as well, there were many, many buses in Fort Worth. I don't know what you call it, but how they put a wrap on them. Is that right? A wrap or something? Okay. And so it says this on that wrap. I'll never forget it. It says, millions of Americans are good without God. And that went all through our cities. And I said to myself, that's why they're singing Elvis's hit song, Blue Christmas. You know what I mean? They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about the world. Listen, we better thank God that God is God and Jesus is our Lord. Amen? Absolutely. So normally, sometimes during the Christmas communion, some of you may be expecting, well, Bill, I thought you'd be maybe in Matthew or Luke or whatever. But no, no, for my last sermon of 2023, and this is my last sermon, it, you know, the thing is that we are going to celebrate in the book of Hebrews. What a glorious the chapter and verses the Lord has led me to for our service this morning. You know, as we celebrate the greatest birth in history. Now, what took place on earth, I don't know if you know this or not. Well, I know you do. It first took place in heaven, amen? And did you know that there was a conversation before Jesus left heaven to come to this planet, that there was a conversation between God the Father and God the Son that is recorded for us before, right before God sent his only begotten Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to this planet. So Hebrews is probably the last book that you would think I would turn to on a Christmas Eve service. But even though it's not evening, it's morning. But really, it's here in the verses before us, we're going to find out the incarnation, okay? Because it's right before here in Scripture. But we're also going to find out why Jesus was born, okay? So let's look this morning as we find the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, beginning in verse 5. And let me just begin with verse 4, though, because it says, it's not possible that the blood of bull and goats could take away sins. Therefore, based on that verse 4, watch. Therefore, when he, that's Jesus, when he came into the world, Jesus came into the world from another world. Amen? And so he's going to quote now Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. So when Jesus came into another world, he said, Jesus said, look at this, sacrifice and offering you, that's God the Father, you don't desire, but a body, Jesus says, you have prepared for me, a body, a physical body, and so forth. Now, William's translation, I love what he says, one of the greatest translations you could ever read, by the way. He says, so when Christ was coming into the world, he had not come yet, he was coming into the world, he said. So the writer of Hebrews, who I believe to be Paul, as you already know, when he uses there Psalms 40, verses 6 through 8, which is quoted, he sees Christ speaking to God the Father in heaven right at the dawn, if you will, of the incarnation, when the Word of God became flesh. Amen? So he says, therefore, when he came into the world, and you know, Jesus has always been. We know that. Amen? Amen. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's always been. So he came from another world into our world. And what happened? We learned last Sunday, but we know anyway. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary. So from heaven's glory, the Son of the living God entered into the womb of Mary, and there was the baby. So the fullness of time that had finally come, that divine appointment in history, the divine appointment from heaven. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, it says, when the fullness of time had come, that perfect moment, God sent forth his Son born of a woman. From Genesis 3:15 to the moment that Jesus came there, it was conceived in Mary, was about 4,000 years. Jesus had to be born at the exact right time because of Daniel's prophecy. That's one prophecy. Because of Daniel's prophecy, because Jesus had to be born at the exact time so he would enter into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, remember? At the triumphant entry on the exact day. Man, amazing. God's perfect timing. The word sent forth means a mission. God sent his son from heaven to earth on a mission into the darkest, hopeless planet in the universe, planet Earth. See, so the true meaning when we think about Christmas, we know it's not about receiving gifts. Amen? Nothing wrong with getting gifts, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about you, really. Christmas is about what God has done for you. Amen? Now, so that's the truth. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let me give you a few scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ, he came into the world. Can you imagine going into a world and everyone there is going to make fun of you and despise you, and you're going to be a man of sorrows? Your own will not receive you. And you come into another world to be hated, and then finally hated so much you are murdered upon the cross. Jesus came into the world, it says, to save sinners. 1 John 4:14, we have seen, testify, that the Father has sent from heaven. Sent the Son as Savior of the world. Jesus, do you know Jesus was born on this planet not to condemn the world, amen? The Bible tells us in John 3:17, for God did not, and there's that word again, send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, amen? A great scripture that Jesus quoted. In John 12:46, he said this, Jesus said, I've come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him. Listen to what he says. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus was born to take my place. Jesus was born to take your place. To die your death, to take your sin. Amen? Oh, and when we partake of communion, all that I'm talking about, put it in your heart. Jesus took our place, man. That's why he was born. He says, therefore, when he came into the world, look what Jesus said to God the Father. He up in heaven, now watch. He said, sacrifice and offering you don't desire. Father, you don't want that, because the reason you don't want that, even though you commanded it, is after all 1,500 years of the sacrifices of the blood of bull and goats, they can never take away sin. So Jesus said to God the Father, you sacrifice offering, you don't desire, O God. But look what happened. Jesus now speaks and he says, but a body, and if I say you, it's really God the Father, but a body, Father, you have prepared, Jesus says, for me. So Jesus now, he steps out of eternity, out of heaven, into what we call time. And he says, Father, I know the sacrifice is offered. It's over with. You don't desire them. But you, in the Amplified Version, it says, but you have made ready a body for me. And then it says, to offer. Why? Because Jesus was born to die. We don't want to hear that on Christmas. That's exactly the truth. Amen? He was born to die for you and for me. And he says, you've prepared me a body, a physical body, okay, that's going to be locked in time. Think about that. God locked in time. Oh, amazing. And then we know what happened. What did Mary, after Mary told the angel, after he told him about the Son of God, he was going to be great, he was going to be the king and all the rest of the things. And what did Mary say? Luke 1:38, she said, let it be to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. In other words, mission was accomplished. Amen. Now listen, from heaven to the womb of Mary to to a feed trough in Bethlehem. Think about that, to be born there. It says in Luke 2:6, "And so it was while they," meaning Joseph and Mary, "while they were there," meaning in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 recorded for us 600 years before the birth of Christ, recorded that the Savior, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So it was there, it says, the days were completed for Mary to be delivered. In other words, for her birth. Now, do you think there was a halo over Mary's head as she gave birth? Do you think there was soft music playing in the background? No, there was a rank smell because they were in the barn, amen? And so forth. Listen, do you think Mary sweated when she gave birth? You think maybe her ankles were a little swollen and her back was aching? Yes, it was a normal birth. Does that make sense? She had a baby just like all women have, and they go through it. It's hard. There's pain in childbirth. And it says here, she brought forth her firstborn son, the God-man, not half human and half divine, completely 100% human, 100% God. Amen? The God-man. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger or a feed trough, and there was no room for them in the inn. So from the throne of heaven, where he was worshipped, to a feed trough in Bethlehem, he came into the world he created, but there was no room in the world for him, not even in the inn. Think about that. Now listen, Jesus said to the Father, "You have made ready for me a body to offer." In a few minutes, when the communion is passed out, more than a few minutes, but when it's finally passed out, loved one, listen to me. Jesus, he's going to speak to us. Remember what he said when we take the bread? He says, "Take, eat. This is my body." What body? The body that God prepared for him. Are you listening to me? It says, "A body which is broken for you." He took our place. "Broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So here, Jesus, again, the true meaning of his birth is he was born for a purpose. We all know that. To die upon the cross for the sins of the world, and to do the will of God. The Bible says that Jesus' ears were open, meaning open to obey whatever the will of God was while he was on this planet. Let me give you the scripture, Isaiah 50, verse 5. "The Lord God has opened my ear," that's a capital M, meaning Jesus, the Messiah. "He's opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did whatever God the Father wanted me to do." He says, "Nor did I turn away," meaning I didn't turn away from all that I suffered. I didn't turn away from the cross. He says, "I gave," or "I willingly gave my back to those who struck me," the scourging. He says, "My cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Think of that. That's what he did for you and for me. So God gave his only son a body, created there, conceived there in the womb of Mary. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was born to fulfill the will of God on this planet. Now listen, God doesn't love you. He doesn't love me because Jesus died. Jesus died because God loves us. John 3:16, "For God," what? He so loved you, he so loved me, he gave his only begotten son, loved one. Oh, and then in verse 6, Jesus continues to talk, and he says, "Oh, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, Father, you had no pleasure." And here comes Jesus. "Then I said," meaning Jesus, "Behold, I've come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do something, to do your will, O God." So what is he saying? Every predictive prophecy, everything you've told me from heaven, I am going to do. Oh God, I go now. I depart from heaven. I'm going to earth to do all of your will. Listen to me now. He's going to take on human flesh to do the will of God. But listen to me. Jesus is the only baby ever born on this planet, pardon me, knowing his purpose from beginning to end. Do you know that? Think about that. Oh, loved one. Man, I mean, it is finished. And he says, I've come to do your will. Jesus said in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, meaning sent me from heaven. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, meaning from heaven, and to finish his work. In Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17:4, he says, I have, Father, I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. From the very moment that Jesus left heaven and came to this planet, he knew everything that he was going to face. He didn't have to learn about it. Do you understand? He understood all of it. What began in heaven ended up 33 years later, the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he pray then? Not my will, Father, but thy will be done. Amen? Now, willingly, Jesus took a body. Isn't that amazing? I mean, for God to take a body? Man. He so loved us that much. Willingly beaten, willingly scourged, you know, and all those things. Remember later on, earlier in Hebrews when I was teaching through it, I think it's, I don't know, Hebrews 2:9. It says that Jesus, he suffered death. Oh, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and that he tasted death for everyone. Amen? That's what our Lord did. And look at verse 8 now. Previously saying, sacrifice, offering, burnt offering, sin offerings for sin, you did not desire, you had no pleasure in them. Again, yes, God commanded them, but they could never take away sin. He says, which are offered according to the law. And then he said, meaning Jesus, again, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, meaning to remove all the sacrifices, the Levitical sacrifices. He takes away the first, why? That he may establish the second, meaning the new covenant in Christ. Jesus was born to die, loved one. It's Christmas. It's Christmas Eve. In a few minutes, you know what the Lord's going to tell us to do? He says this. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, he says, eat this bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, someone might be saying right now, well, Bill, you know, I'd like to hear maybe some, you know, the wise men, a little bit of the stars, you know, shepherds singing, angels, that was last Sunday. No. Jesus said, I've come to do your will, and here's what I want your hearts to be prepared for. Is it warm in here? I see people fanning. I don't have the controls. If anybody has the control to the AC unit on your phone, I don't have it. You can lower it down because it seems warm to me. So whoever has that, I don't have it. Now, hey, I don't. Praise the Lord. Maybe he wants us to sweat a little bit. Maybe some of you are sweating. Listen to what God's will. I have come to do your will, O God. Look what it is. Verse 10. By that will, God's will, we have been what? Sanctified through the offering of what? The body of Jesus Christ for how long? Once and for all. Listen to me. You're going to partake of communion. And just a few minutes, and listen to me now. It says, we have been. That's you. That's me. If you're in Christ, it is a past fact. It is a present reality, and it can never, ever be taken away from you. We have been sanctified. You know what that means? It means you have been, for it's God's will, through Jesus Christ, you have been forever, eternally, completely, can never change, set apart, for God forever and ever and ever and ever. Now that's why we are celebrating communion today. We're going to have a merry Christmas. Amen. Oh, and I say, oh Lord, that is so wonderful. Man, our sins, we are inwardly cleansed from sin, past, present, future. It's all paid for. How? The body that was in Mary, that was born on this planet, that was conceived, the Son of God in her womb. It says once and for all. Do you know what that means literally in the Greek? It's strong in the Greek. It means this, loved one. It's certain. It is finished. It's never to be repeated. It's once and for all. It is done. I encourage you right now to let this, your position, flood your heart. Now listen to me. You have been, because of Jesus Christ, what he did for you and for me. Jesus was born to die. He took our place. Amen? Because you have placed your faith in him, you have been made permanently holy for all eternity in the eyes of the living God. This is not progressive sanctification. That's not what it is, where we're going from glory to glory. You destroy the text if you do that. Oh, man, listen. No, this is an accomplished fact. Remember 1 Peter 1:16, he said, you be holy for I am holy, a command and a promise. It has now been fulfilled. You are holy unto God because of Jesus Christ. Because you're in him. Does that make sense? That is your eternal position. You have perfect standing. I know we fall. I know we get in trouble. We have perfect standing. Perfect standing in the eyes of Almighty God for all time. You are completely, eternally separated to God, and that can never change. That is, boy, that's why I celebrate Christmas right there. Heaven is my home. Oh, and every priest stands ministering daily, repeatedly, the same sacrifice. They can never take away sins, meaning the blood of bull and goats. But this man, that's our Lord. After he offered one sacrifice, his blood, okay, for sins for how long? Oh, forever. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why? It's finished. It's completely finished. Christmas means this. There's a way back to God for every person on this planet. Amen? They can, you know, he's provided a way. He says, and from that time waiting, his enemies are made his footstool. Listen to me. Jesus Christ, he died, he rose, he ascended, he is seated at the right hand of God. And one day all of our enemies, his enemies, he's going to rest his feet upon them. One day everyone will confess Jesus Christ as Lord, whether they want to or not. Amen? And I'm going to tell you, he is coming, and he's coming soon. For by one offering, listen to this now, one offering, this is about us, he, Jesus, has perfected. Is that past tense? Yes. How long is he perfected? Oh, is that a long time? Oh, forever, those, that's us, who are being, that's present tense, being sanctified. Listen, right now, if you are a believer, You don't feel this. You have to believe this. You are right now, perfected forever. That's the eternal perfection, meaning our salvation is completely complete. In the mind of God, okay? In the mind of God, this is our position. This is going to blow you away, but it's true. You are as perfect as his Son because you are in his Son, and he sees you only in Jesus Christ, who never sinned. Amen? Oh, and that's why we're going to rejoice as we celebrate communion in just a minute, loved one. Listen, this is not, again, progressive sanctification, going from glory to glory to glory. Now, it's very important. There is a process. But we have been eternally sanctified or set apart to God by Jesus Christ. And now we are working out what God has set apart. Amen? Now, but the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us after he said, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days. Talking about Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34, the new covenant. God says, oh, I'm going to put my laws in their hearts and their minds, and I'm going to write them. That's God himself. He does that. He says, I will make. That's the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? So God makes his commands part of us. We now are partakers of his divine nature. And then he adds, look at this. And then he adds, their sins at Calvary Chapel, their lawless deeds, God says what? I will remember what?
No more.
Do you believe that scripture? Yes. No. You've got to listen. You want to? You don't. Here's your. That's the only New Year's resolution you need. Amen. Is that verse? I look at that and that incredible divine promise. As you move into 2024, please don't forget this verse. Everything that you've done, all your sin, Jesus paid for. when you're in your bed late at night and you're not asleep and all of a sudden what you did 15, 20 years ago or whenever it was, that adultery, that abortion, whatever it might have been in your life, that lie, it's gone. Do you understand? It says, it gets gooder. Because in the Greek, it's emphatic. It means I will never, no, never, never, by any means, ever remember your sin. Do you understand that? Jesus took your sin. He took your place, your guilt, your shame. He took all of it. And the moment that happened, God stopped remembering your sins because they were paid for. Do you understand? That is so important that we understand that. Now, where there is remission of these, the forgiveness of the penalty of sin, that's what that word means. There is no longer a what? An offering. There's no more sacrifices. Why? It's finished. Jesus has paid it all. Amen? You know what the word forgiveness means? It means to send away. Forgiveness means to cancel a debt that was once a debt. It's no longer a debt. Christ took the sins of the world upon himself and carried them away. And there is no possible of them returning. Do you understand that? Can I give you the scripture that will prove it? Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities, all of it from us. That means we have endless forgiveness. He has forgiven us under grace. Our forgiveness is permanent. Why? Because the sacrifice of Jesus is permanent. There's no more sacrifices for sin. Ushers, let's come and let's pass out. Let's pass out the bread. We're going to partake of the bread. And as Jesse and them, they're going to come and play for us. It says in the Bible in Hebrews 9:26 that Jesus has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The word put away is a very important word. Put away means severed forever. Amen? Get your hearts right. We're going to sing to the Lord. You're going to hold the bread, and I'll come back up, and we're going to partake together as a family. Amen? Amen. We're not commanded anywhere in Scripture to remember Jesus' birth. Amen? But we're commanded to remember his death. Listen to me now. The birth of Jesus can't save us. It can't save. Jesus had to die for our sins. Amen? And he had to rise from the dead. Boy, listen, that is so important that we get that. And sometimes all the Christmas decorations, which it's great. I mean, I love to look at the lights and all of that. And, you know, but maybe they don't let them draw your attention away from the true Christmas, about the true birth of Christ. You know, the baby in the manger was born to die. And as we hold the bread of life in our hands, praise the Lord, the one who came down from heaven, the one who was conceived in Mary's womb, the one who did the will of the Father for you and for me. I say, God, you're so good to us. And I know we've examined our hearts, but let me just read what Jesus told us to do. He says this, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Broken for you. I did all of this for you. And when we partake of this bread, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't let the world steal the joy that I gave you and put in your heart. Amen? He says, oh, no. Don't ever, ever do that. So, Father, in Jesus' name, on this Christmas Eve morning, here with your family, my family, oh God, we love you, we praise you, and we do all that we do right now. We give thanks in our heart as we remember all that Jesus did for us. In Jesus' name, let us partake of the bread. Ushers, let's pass out the cup. You know, how can we know the true joy of this season, of the birth of Christ, of Christmas, unless you really know the truth about Christmas? Amen? You know, Roy Smith said this, "He who has not Christmas in his heart will never find it under a tree." That is a very, very good word. And you know, while you hold the cup in your hand, we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. You know, I know that in many people's mind, and I'm not going to fault them for this, or I'm just making a statement. We all know it's true that, you know, we all want Christmas to be that one day, just that one day when everybody pretends everything is okay. The world is okay. But the world is not okay. But we are not of this world. Amen. I mean, thank God. We're citizens of the world that Jesus left and came to earth. Amen. This world is going to pass away. See, we know the truth. This is not our home. So as we hold the cup in our hand, loved one, Jesus told us, he said this, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Jesus is coming back. Amen? No, he really is coming back. He really is. And you know what? It could be tonight, it could be right now, it could be 2024, but it's his calendar, amen? He knows when it's time. But you know, listen, you are redeemed, you are purchased, you're his people, and you have been redeemed not with silver and gold, loved one, that perishes, but with the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? Your sins are paid for. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name, here we are before you at your son's table. And Lord, I know you are with us. We give thanks that you took our place, our death, our sin, our shame. And Lord God, you made us one of your children. We give you praise for that. So in Jesus' name, on this Christmas Eve morning, we partake of this cup together. In Jesus' name, let us partake. I want to close out this year with just a few words. And I would like for you to do something if you have your Bibles there with you. I want you to, as I close out, and that's what I'm doing now, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. If you'll just turn there, I'll be there in just a second. I was writing down last week, and it just stayed with me the whole week, and I want to write down what I said. I wrote down, I said, what makes Calvary Chapel such a special place? And I said, well, it's certainly not our campus, which is wonderful. Thank God. Amen. And it's certainly not me. You know, but let me tell you who it is. What makes Calvary Chapel special is you. You know, there's 1,000 different personalities that say they belong to this church. That's a lot of people, and I put up with all of them. You know, but the thing is, we all have different personalities, but what you've done and how I hear it all the time is that your people, Bill, and you're not my people, but that's what they say. They're so loving. See, you're the ones who have made Calvary Chapel a special place because of your actions and the way you love others and help others and reach out to others. And the reason that you do all that, because in your heart you really do believe that love never fails, because that is a word of God. Amen. And look at there at chapter 4 verse 7, 1 John, beloved, let us love one another, for love is what? Of God. He's the source, the origin of love. Everyone who loves God is born of God, meaning that is the only true, really true evidence of the new birth. Amen. That you love one another. Oh man, listen, when you don't walk in love, you walked out of the power of God. Do you understand me? Oh, he who does not love, well, you don't know God. Why? Well, God is love. In this, what? Well, this is how the love of God was manifested toward us, or made visible, if you will, the babe in the manger, all right? That God has sent, there's that word again, his only begotten Son into the world. That's what we've just learned again this morning. That we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. In other words, our sins have been paid for by the suffering of another. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? In this it says, in what? In his love he sent Jesus. Romans 5:8, God proved or demonstrated his own love for us that he sent Jesus Christ. Amen? To die for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if God loved you and me and the world like that, well, we ought to love one another right now and in 2024, amen? Listen, I'll ask you a question. Did Jesus have anything to gain by coming, leaving heaven and coming here? No. But we had everything to gain, amen? The one who was born in a manger, who left heaven born in a manger, paid for the sins of the world. He is coming again. He is coming again. Man, listen, do you know Jesus? Maybe you're here this morning in this early service. The world wouldn't make room for Jesus. They put him in a feed trough. Well, you know, the manger represents your heart. You see, Jesus made room for you if you don't know him. And you can come to him right now. You don't even have to raise your hand. You could just say, Jesus, save me. Save me right now. I believe in you. Come into my heart. And he will save you right now. If you really mean that. If you believe that in your heart. He made room for us. Amen? Do you know Jesus said, he told us in John 14:1, what did he say? He said this. He says, let your heart, don't let it be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, ye may be also. Amen. May I say from all the leadership here at Calvary, all the servant leaders, and me included, it's been a privilege to serve you this year in 2023. All those who listen around the world, I'm shocked. Thank you for listening. You know, you had 17,000 people tune in last month. You know what I mean? You go, dear Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for your letters. I thank you for those that have, all the people that have gotten saved online this year. I thank all the radio listeners. There's so many. 25 years we've been on the air. What a journey God has taken us to. Amen. All those who listen live, radio, I thank you for that. And I thank you for your kindness, your good emails, and your bad ones. I thank you. And all those who call Calvary Chapel their home church. And those that you're shut in right now, but this is your home church too. We know who you are and we love you. Here, all I can say is from my home to your home. May the peace and the blessing and the presence of Christ Jesus be there from your home to mine. I just bid you a Christ-centered Christmas and a great, wonderful 2024 in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing to the Lord. We're going to dismiss. Sing with